What we're going to talk about this morning, we are going to talk about the fundamentals of faith. Now, that's very important. You know, the fundamentals of faith. I remember, I always hear Pastor Greg Carr. Pastor Carr, he always talks about when he played basketball, the fundamentals. You know, fundamentals are important in anything you do. Fundamentals are important in sports. Fundamentals are important in medicine. Fundamentals are important in education. Fundamentals are important in everything. But what we need to know as believers, there are fundamentals associated to your faith. I don't know if you realize it or not, but there are fundamentals associated with your faith, and we need to understand those fundamentals, okay? But now, for many of you who are viewing for the very first time, you're trying to say, well, what is he talking about, faith? What is that? Well, we're going to take a few moments just to look at that. Now, in the Bible, I want to ask you this question. The question is, what is faith? Now, some of you watching this for the very first time, you're probably asking that question. I hear these people talk a lot about faith, but what is faith? I'm glad you asked that. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'll wait for you to get there. You can get it on your phone, get in your tablet. Are you there? Hebrews, the 11th chapter, the first verse. And I'm going to start in the King James Version. Now listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me say that one more time. Now faith is, not faith was or faith will be. Faith is now. Faith is in the now. Say that. Faith is in the now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, in the Amplified Version, that same scripture in the Amplified, it says it this way. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact. Let me say that again. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. You got that? Now, I like this translation, this other translation, Hebrews 11 and 1 in the Passion. I like this. Listen to what he says here. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality. Isn't that something? Isn't that exciting? Faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is unseen. Now, you get that. That is so important. Let me say that one more time. Now, faith brings our hopes into reality. So what are you hoping for right now? Faith will bring that into what? A reality. And becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. You got that? Now, let me just keep on going. Now, that's what faith is. Faith is substance, but we can't see it. It's not tangible, but it's what we hope for. It's evidence, it's proof of what we don't see. But now the question is, so that's what faith is. But now, how does faith come? Does faith come by airmail? Does faith come by the internet? Does faith come by the breeze? Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The Apostle Paul says this. He says it this way. I'm reading from the King James Version. So then, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing what? The word of God. Let me say that again. So then faith comes how? By hearing. And hearing the word of God. Now in the Amplified, that same verse says it this way. The Amplified says it this way. So faith comes from hearing what is told. And what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. So every time you hear about Jesus Christ, every time you look at the word of God, faith is coming. Faith comes. It'll come to you. Now, I like how the Passion says this verse as well in Romans 10, 17. Listen to what the Passion says. Faith then is birth in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance. Let me say that again. Faith then is birthed where? In the heart. So faith is of the heart, not of the head. Faith is of the heart. Faith is then birthed in the heart. It's birthed in the heart that does what? That responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. Now, isn't that good? So this morning, what we're going to look at, we're going to look at the fundamentals of faith, right? Now, let me give you a definition of that word fundamental, a definition that we can work with this morning. Fundamentals is this, a central or primary rule or principle on which something is based. One more time. Fundamentals, a central or primary rule or principle on which something is based. Now, this morning, we're going to look at one of the fundamentals. Now, this fundamental that I'm going to talk to you about, because there's several fundamentals of faith, but I'm going to talk to you about this one this morning. And this one is sometimes overlooked or misunderstood. And this fundamental is called point of contact. Say that with me. Say point of contact. One more time. Point of contact. Very good, very good, very good. Now, we've all experienced, now this concept of point of contact is nothing foreign to us because each and every one of us experienced this on a daily basis. And I'll give you an example in the natural. In order for me to get here to this sanctuary, I had to get into my car. Now, when I got into my car just didn't take off. I had to do something. What did I have to do? I had to take my key, put it in the ignition, and then when I turned the ignition, the car came on. Now, some of you have those that push buttons, and some of you are more digital. You got it on your iPad. But either way, whether you push a button, whether you turn with a key, turning of that key and pushing that button became a point of contact for that car to do what it was designed to do, bring me here. Now, let me go a little bit further. When I got here, someone or someone's had to turn on lights so that I can walk through where I had to go and see where I had to go. And then when I got here, someone or someone's, and I see some of them here with me serving in the media group, they had to turn on flip a switch, turn on a computer, run a system, run an app. But the moment they turned on that switch, the moment they turned on that app, that became the point of contact to enable us to send out this broadcast. Now, let me tell you what you did in your point of contact. Some of you, well, if you're watching me, obviously you did this. You either turned on your desktop, you either had to turn on your laptop, you either had to turn on your phone, or some of you who are really techie, you had to tell Alexa. You said, Alexa, turn on the broadcast, right? Either way, that became in the natural a point of contact in order for you to see me, in order for me to be able to see you. Or not see you, but broadcast to you. Amen? So each and every one of us, right, are operating in the natural with these point of contact. So point of contact is very important because what does a point of contact establish? It helps us to connect ourselves. Say connect. It helps us to connect ourselves with the services that we need, right? Now, I like what Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, used to always say in all of his crusades, in any meeting he was in, he would turn to everyone and say, always keep your switch of faith turned on. So say that. Say, I'm going to keep my switch of faith turned on. See, because when we got the switch of faith turned on, that means that becomes the point of contact for us to receive from Almighty God. Amen? You got that? Now, in the Word of God, I just want you to see this. And in the realm of the Spirit, faith is needed to appropriate all of the promises and all the provisions of God. In other words, I want to say it this way. Faith is really the currency of the kingdom. So I want you to say this with me. Say, my faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. Whatever I need, I will use my faith as the currency to bring it to me. Amen? Now, that's very important. You need to understand that. Now, you and I that are part of the kingdom of God, and for those of you watching for the very first time, you know, stay with me. We're going somewhere. I always say that to my students, and good morning, A students. I always say to my A students, stay with me because we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere in the Word of God. Amen? Are you ready to continue this journey? Now let's turn in our Bibles to James, the book of James, chapter 2, verse 17. James chapter 2, verse 17. And I'm going to start off in the King James Version and listen to what James, the brother of Jesus, had to say about this. He said it this way. He said, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone." Got that? Now, I like the Good News Translation. Now, if you don't have one, you can look on your app. So just listen. And I think they're going to put it on the screen. You can see it. The Good News Translation says it this way. I like how it says it. "So it is with faith. If it is alone and includes no actions, then it's dead." Let me say it again. "So is it with faith. If it is alone and include no actions, it's what? Dead." Now, the Passion Translation says it this way in James chapter 2, verse 17. "So then, faith that doesn't involve action is phony." Let me say that one more time. "So then, faith that doesn't involve action, it's phony." Oh, boy, that hit home. In the Amplified, that same verse says it this way. "So to faith, if it does not work, have works to back it up, it is by itself dead and inoperative and ineffective." Now, I just shared that with you in several translations, but I want you to say this with me. Say this with me, because this is going to be our confession. Say this with me. Say, "My faith is not dead." Say this. "My faith involves action." Now say this. "My faith is not phony." And finally, say this. "My faith is not inoperative and ineffective." Isn't that good to know? That is good to know. And you need to say that. See, you need to say that, because once you say it, you're connecting. It becomes a point of contact. Amen? Now, I remember growing up as a child when I was young, when I was little. I didn't come from a church-going family. We were not church-going people, okay? But I remembered my mother always made us sit down when there was a Billy Graham crusade, remember in the 60s and early 70s? It was aired on TV. And also Brother Oral Roberts would have his TV specials, right? Now, I hated them, okay? I didn't hate Billy Graham and I didn't hate Oral Roberts. Don't get me wrong. We just hated the fact that those broadcasts would come on Saturday afternoons. And we were kids, and, you know, during Saturday afternoons, we were out playing sports. So our mother made us come in to listen to those broadcasts, right? Because me, I was with my brothers, and we figured we had better things to do. We couldn't wait until Billy Graham said, "Just as I am." And as people were coming down the aisle, we were running out the door, right? Oral Roberts used to say, "Something's good's going to happen to you today." And I'm saying, I'm waiting for it to happen, because there's nothing good's happening right now. But the point of the matter was this. My mother, I remembered, she partnered with the Oral Roberts ministry. And one of my jobs as being the youngest in the family, I used to go and run and get the mail. So I had to go down to the box, bring up the mail. And I would see the letters from Oral Roberts ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I would see the letters that my mother would write. You know, and we grew up on welfare, so we were poor. We didn't have much. So my mother, when she wrote a letter, she was writing about the needs that the family had, such and such. And I remembered I saw one of the letters that Brother Roberts responded back to my mother. And this is what he said. In essence, this is what he wrote the letter. It said it this way. He said, "Ellen," that's my mother's name, "Ellen, I am taking your request to the prayer tower, and I'm going to pray. What you can do as a point of contact," now that's the first time I ever heard that word. That was in 1968. He said, "As a point of contact, take whatever you can and send as a seed." First time I had ever heard that. He says, "As a point of contact, you and I agreeing with God to meet your needs." Then he closed underneath the letter. I didn't understand this. I'm saying, who's this guy, Phil? Because at the bottom, it was a guy named Phil, 4:19. I didn't know what that was. That was a code. I don't know who. He kept sending letters, and it was with this Phil 4:19. I didn't know what that meant until later I got saved, but it was Philippians 4:19. And it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, right? So now, Brother Oral Roberts, I didn't realize this, but he was operating in one of the fundamentals of faith. And that was what? The point of contact. Now, listen to what Brother Roberts, in his own words, I was able to capture this. So this is his own words when he talked, when he made reference to the point of contact. Listen to what he said, and you can probably see it. The point of contact is your means for directing your faith towards God. It shows him that you truly trust him. Let me say that one more time. The point of contact is your means for directing your faith towards God. It shows him that you truly trust him. Amen. And I know many of you out there, you're believing God, right? Amen. And you're trusting God, right? But you see, here's what happens sometimes with our faith. Sometimes our faith, we have faith, but here's what happens. I have faith, I'm believing. But now what am I using as a point of contact? What are the corresponding actions to this? I want to show you in the Bible. If I can show you this in the Bible, those of you who are viewing for the very first time, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard this. Maybe for some of you, you've heard this for the thousandth time. Well, this is the 1,001 time. But I'm going to show you in the Word of God. God is going to show us two examples, one in the Old Testament, one in the New. So if you have your Bible, let's look first in the Old Testament, because I want to show you two people who used the point of contact to obtain their faith, to obtain what they needed from God. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. I'll wait for you to turn there. Now, this is the story of two people. One of them is Elijah, the prophet of God, and the other one is, well, let's put it this way, a woman that we can all identify with, someone we can identify with. Amen? Now, let's begin reading. I'm going to begin reading at chapter 17, verse 1. And if you have a Bible, please follow along with me. And I'm reading from the King James. And it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now you got that? Now listen, what Elijah said as he spoke, he was really speaking what is said in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 32 and 33. You don't have to turn there, but just have it as a reference. Because in that, Solomon made a prayer when they dedicated the temple. And they said, if I or any one of our nations sin against you, then shut up the heavens. So what Elijah was doing was agreeing with what God already said. You got that? But now look at verse 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn what? Eastward. In other words, leave Jerusalem. And hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now everyone say there. There. That simple word, there. God told the prophet to do what? Leave Jerusalem and go where? There. Now listen to what he said. As he went there, why did he tell him to go there? He told him specifically where to go. By what? The brook Cherith. Now, what was going to happen? God said he commanded what? Ravens to bring him food, right? To sustain him there. Now, look at verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith. That is before Jordan. Now, before I go any further, for the prophet Elijah, his point of contact started when he went there. He went where God told him to go. And when he went there, then the next thing was going to happen. And where did he go? To the brook Cherith. I don't know about you, I don't know about you, but I'm going to say this about myself. It's important that you always know where your there is with God. As far as I'm concerned, my there is here at Redeeming Love Christian Center. Your there may be at your local church. Your there may be here at Redeeming Love Christian Center like many of us. But if you don't know where your there is, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to know where your provision is, because God will always provide you there, not over there, but there. So now we see the prophet, right? He went to the brook Cherith, and the interesting thing was this. What type of bird brought him the food? Ravens. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with ravens, but ravens are scavengers. In other words, ravens know how to get things. So let me put it to you this way. When you and I, when we are where God tells us to be, he'll set up the situation and circumstances. I'm talking to you right now about what we're having to deal with during this whole pandemic thing. You know where you're there is. God will have someone, a scrounger, scrounge something to bring it to you. And the other interesting thing about the ravens, I don't know if you notice about ravens. Ravens are stingy birds. They don't share with nobody. They just get it for themselves. But notice, God commanded stingy birds to bring provision to his man of God. God has already commanded those things that are in this world to bring provision to his people who know where they are. The Bible says this, those that are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of our God. So the important thing was this for Elijah. He had to know where his there was. And his there was what? At the brook Cherith. But let's keep on going, right? So verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh. I like to say it this way. They brought him a sandwich, right? They brought him a sandwich in the morning, and they brought him a sandwich in the evening. And he was by the brook Cherith, right? So the brook, he had the water, right? And he everything was going pretty good, right? He had provision. It was going smooth, right? But look what happened. Verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, that's natural, right? Remember, because Elijah already said no rain on Israel, right? No rain in Jerusalem, right? So guess what? No rain, no water. No water, no brook. Now, think about it this way. This pandemic thing came as a result of situations that maybe we're not versed in and that's not important. But either way, the man of God was in the place where God told him to be and things changed. Notice he didn't panic. Notice those situations and circumstances may have looked like a setback for him. But look at what happened. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to him. You know, I'm thoroughly convinced about this. This situation and season that we're in with this satanic attack of this so-called pandemic thing, it's an opportunity for each, you and I as believers, to wait on God and hear the word of the Lord. Meditate in his word. Focus in on what he has to say. Spend time in his presence. You know, many times the word of the Lord comes to me when I'm in his presence. But if I'm watching football, I got news for you. The word of the Lord doesn't come. But the word of the Lord came, right, to Elijah. And what did he say? Verse 9, arise. So when the word of the Lord comes, there needs to be action. Remember we talked about point of contact involving action, right? So the word of the Lord comes to Elijah. He says, arise thee and go where? To Zarephath. Now, let me tell you something about Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon. Zarephath was not in the Israeli province. It was outside of Israel. And remember in the New Testament, the Syrophoenician woman? The Syrophoenician woman came from this area of Zidon. So we're talking about God is now sending his covenant man, the prophet Elijah. He didn't send him to Israel. He didn't send him to Jerusalem. Where did he send him? To Zarephath. We can say it this way. He sent him to the Gentiles. He sent him to those outside of the covenant. But now listen, listen to what it happens. He says, which belongs to Zidon, and do what? And dwell where? There. So that was another place for Elijah's there. His there was where now? It moved from the brook Cherith to Zarephath. And he says, behold, I have commanded who? A widow woman there to sustain you. Now, listen to this. This is something interesting. I don't know if you ever realized this, but now he said he would command, God said he commanded who? A widow woman to sustain him. Now, the interesting thing in the Old Testament, think about it this way. A widow woman was a woman who was married and her husband died. And in that culture, if your husband died, Your finances died. Your supply died. Your source died. This woman did not have a 401k. This woman did not have an annuity. This woman wasn't living off of Social Security. There was no Social Security. But notice, God told Elijah, go to this widow woman, for I have commanded her to do what? Sustain you. Now, in this time we're in, it may look kind of unconventional. It may look like, well, I don't know about that. Listen, if God tells you to go there, then guess where your provision is? Your provision is over there. And don't look at the one in whom he's going to use as a means of provision, right? So Elijah got up. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called unto her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So I guess she's going to bring that to him. But look at what he says. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her to her and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. Now, I like verse 12. Verse 12 is very interesting. This widow woman, it gives you a hint of who this widow woman was. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may dress, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. So what this widow woman was saying to Elijah was this: all I have is a meal, a little bit of meal in this barrel, a handful of meal in this barrel. All I have is a little cruse of oil. She said, I'm going to take these two sticks. I'm going to put them down. I'm going to heat it up. I'm going to make a cake for me and my son, and we're going to die. She had only a one-day supply. One-day supply. Now, I want you to think about where you are right now with all this stuff going on and all these shortages, and some people are experiencing layoffs and jobs, and you're trying to figure out, hey, man, where's my provision? Where is all I have in the bank is, and all we got is, and now, you know, this guy's asking for, right? But listen to what happens here. Listen to what he said, verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. I'm saying the same thing for you today. Fear not. Don't you know God knows what you have? Don't you know that what you have right now? I want you to think about this. Think about it right now. What you have right now is more than enough. Now, I know that sounds crazy because some of you are thinking, well, what about my mortgage? What about my car note? What about the kids going to college? What about all these other things? What about my rent? What about the groceries? What about the medical bills? But listen to what he said. Fear not. It's important that we not fear in times like this. And let me just share this with you. You know, there are people going around, they talk about hoarding. You know, when you hoard something, you know, hoarding is fear-based. I didn't know if you realized that. Hoarding is fear-based. We are to fear not. If you're with somebody in your room or in your home, turn to them and say, fear not. Fear. Say, no fear here. Now, listen to what he said. He keeps on going with this, right? Listen to what he says. Go and do as you said. Now, listen to what the prophet told her. Go and do as you said. Remember, she's going to make that meal, right? Go and do as you said, but make me therefore a little cake first and bring it unto me and make for thee and for thy son. Now, notice what he said. He didn't tell her to do something she couldn't do. God is never going to ask you to do something that you can't do. God's not going to tell you to give something that you can't give. She could do this. He said, do what you were going to do, but first give a little for me. Make a little cake for me, right? And look at what he says. Verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until to the day that the Lord send rain upon the earth. Now, here's what happened. The prophet spoke the word of the Lord, right? Remember, God said he commanded her. When she heard the prophet speak, she knew that that was the command that God has given her. Make for him first. You know, there's something about first. When we put God first, you know what? When we make God first, it's a type of honor. Proverbs 3, 9, 10 says this, honor the Lord with what? With all your substance and all that you have, right? And what's going to happen? He will cause what? Increase, right? Honor the Lord, put him first with your substance and with the first fruits. Now, first fruits is really tithe. Of all your increase, now here's the reason why. So your barns will be filled and your presses shall burst out with new wine. We can say it this way, a type of a fresh anointing. But what do we have to do? Put God first. I'm here to tell you right now, put God first in your situation right now. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what's going to happen? All these things will what? Be added unto you. So in other words, she put God first, right? And listen to what the Bible says, right? So she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he, that's her son, and her house did eat many days. Now, I'm not a math major, okay? But I did a little math on this, okay? One meal, right? She took a portion and gave it to the man of God first. She put God first with that one meal. Now, all things being equal, if they have two meals a day, I know some of us, we have three meals a day. And some of us have four meals a day, but I'm not going to get into that. But just for argument's sake and for tonight, for this morning, let's just say this. Two meals a day. Because she put God first and the meal didn't waste and the oil didn't waste, in year one, she had 1,460 meals because she put God first. Now, here's what I want you to understand. The drought in Israel was for how long? My A students, how long? You're right. 3.5 years. 3.5 years, God was sustaining this widow with her son. So if we want to add that up, that was over 5,110 meals. Why? Because she put God first. Doesn't it make sense? No, it doesn't make sense, but it makes faith. Her point of contact was putting God first. We need to put God first. Put him first. And guess what? You put God first, he'll put you over in every and all situations. Now, let's look in the New Testament because that's the Old Testament. People say, well, that was the Old Testament. I'm going to show you an example. Now, there's many other examples, but for time's sake, I want to show you this. Turn into Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, and we're going to see something happen. We're talking about fundamentals of faith, point of contact. What was Elijah's point of contact? There. What was the widow's woman point of contact? Obedience. Her obedience caused her to receive what she had need of. Now, let's look in the New Testament. Are you at Mark chapter 5? Let's look at verse 22. We're going to pick this up at verse 22. Okay? And it says this, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, right? Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now, that's something important. Remember, Jairus was what? He's one of the rulers in the synagogue. When Jairus saw Jesus, he went to his feet. What Jairus was demonstrating was reverence. See, Jairus had position. And many of us, you know, some of us, sometimes we have position. But guess what? That position is not going to get you what you have need of. But when we humble ourselves, so Jairus had to humble himself. He came to Jesus. Now, listen to what he said. He fell, the ruler of the synagogue, right? When he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly. Now, that's interesting. He didn't just fall at his feet and get up and hand Jesus' card, see me, and then walk away. No, he was beseeching him greatly. He was pleading. He's more or less pleading. But listen to what he said. He said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Now, real quick, what do you think Jairus' point of contact was? His point of contact was his words. His words became his point of contact. He came to Jesus, and he didn't say this, Jesus, if you think you can do it, Jesus, you think you can do this? No, he knew Jesus could do this. And he said, I pray thee. In other words, I'm requesting of you, come and lay your hands on my daughter that she may be what? Healed and live. So now, what did Jesus do? Jesus went and went with him, and much people followed him. Remember, because Jairus is a big person, it's like a celebrity. He was a celebrity, so everybody's following now Jesus, his disciples, and Jairus, and they're on their way to Jairus' house. So I want you to get this picture. It's a big procession. There's a lot of people crowded. There was no social distancing going on in this one, right? They were all pressing in on Jesus, right? And as they were coming down that press, as they were coming to Jairus' house, here's the second person. Another person is here. Let's see. And when Jesus went and much people followed him and thronged him. Look at verse 25. And a certain woman that had what? Which had an issue of blood. For how long? 12 years. She had an issue of blood. Look what happened. And had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all she had and was nothing better, but rather did what? Grew worse. A woman with an issue of blood. A woman with an issue. There's a woman right now listening to this broadcast. You have fibroids. You're having an issue. An issue with fibroids. And it's blocking your flow. And it's giving you cramps. It's giving you discomfort. The Lord is healing you right now. This is your point of contact. Lay your hands on that right now and receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Right now. Lay your hands on that right now. Healing in the name of Jesus. There's several women. Lay your hands there right now in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Now listen to what happens to this woman. She suffered many things. Verse 27. But what happened? When she did what? Hear, when she heard of Jesus. How does faith come? By hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Jesus is what? The word of God made flesh. So when she heard Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now listen to what she said. This is very important. She said, if I may but touch his garment, I know I'll be made whole. Now, I want you to see this picture. This was not a simple walk in the park. She walked through everybody. Excuse me. She didn't walk through everybody. She didn't say, excuse me. She had to press through. She had to press through to get what she had need of. But she wasn't coming in her flesh. She was coming what? In her faith. Because the Bible says she said. So what was this woman's point of contact? What she said. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole, right? Now, I like how the Passion Translation words that. The Passion Translation says it this way. For she kept saying to herself, if only I could touch his clothes, I know I would be healed. If I can only touch his clothes, I know I would be healed. If I can only touch his clothes, I know I would be healed. If I can only touch him, beloved, you and I, every time we agree with God's word, we are touching him. So concerning healing on your body, concerning infection from the COVID-19 virus, touch him. His stripes, we're healed. Like I shared with you on Wednesday night, that bat flew in our house. Guess what? He came in the house through the window, but guess what? He had to leave. Now, he had two choices. He was going to leave on his own, flying out the window, or he was going to leave in a bag. Now, that was a smart bat. He flew back out the window. He was not going to stay in my house. He may have flown in my house, but he had no right to stay in my house. And guess what? I was not going to tolerate him in my house. So those of you that have symptoms or have been tested for positive for that coronavirus, tell it in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out right now. Get out right now. Take your hands off of God's property in the name of Jesus right now. Say that right now. Say, get out right now. Those of you that are dealing with other symptoms and other diseases, speak to them and say, get out right now in the name of Jesus. Himself, Jesus, bore our infirmities, and by his stripes, we're healed. Get out right now. Amen. So this woman, she had to press. So she was pressing. And I remember I heard somebody share this. The blessing is in what? The pressing. She obtained the blessing because she was willing to go through the press. Let me ask you this, beloved. Are you willing to do what it takes to obtain everything God has promised you? James said it this way. He said, count it all joy when we go through diverse temptations. Count it all joy. Now, that doesn't make sense, but guess what? It wasn't designed to make sense. It's the Bible. We can rejoice in any and all situations we may find ourselves in. He said, count it all joy, knowing that the trying of your faith is producing. It's producing what? Patience. You got that? So here was this woman. She was pressing through, and finally she touched Jesus, right? Let's see what happens. Look at verse 29. And straightway, not later on in the year or in the month, but straightway the fountain of her blood did what? Dried up. Straightway, some of you ladies that have just laid hands on yourself, straightway those issues healed up right now in the name of Jesus. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from that plague. Listen to that. Did you hear that? She felt in her body that she was what? Healed from that plague. You know, this plague of COVID-19, coronavirus, it is gone in the name of Jesus. It has to die and dry up in your body right now in Jesus' name, right? Now, let's keep on going with this, right? Look at verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself, what? That virtue had gone out of him. Now, virtue there meant anointing. Someone placed a demand on the anointing. He knew somebody. Now, wait, now keep this in mind. This was a whole bunch of people going with Jairus and Jesus to Jairus' house with his disciples. And I can imagine his disciples are like the security guard. They're trying to keep people away, and everybody's pressing in on Jesus. And Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? Now, why would Jesus say, who touched him? Doesn't Jesus know everything? No. He knew somebody. See, everybody was pressing on him. Everybody was around him. But only one person touched him with faith. I like what Smith Wigglesworth said many times. He said, God will pass over 1,000 people just to come to the one that is believing him in faith. Isn't that what it says in Psalm 91? It says 1,000 shall what? Perish to our side and 10,000 to our right, but it shall not come nigh us. You know why it won't come nigh us? Because we are in faith. We are in faith. Amen? So let's see. He says, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you. Why are you saying who touched you? And they're trying to say, hey, listen, Jesus, get with the program. We're trying to keep the people off you. Everybody's pressing on you. And why are you saying, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Then he knew the person who touched him was that woman reaching out in faith. There's some people right now reaching out in faith, believing, how am I going to pay that mortgage? Point of contact. We're going to go there in just a few moments. There are some of you dealing with symptoms in your body. There are some of you that your medicine is getting low. And how what's going to happen with the refills? Point of contact, faith. We're going there in just a minute. Stay with me. Listen to what he says. And he looked around and saw her that done this. But the woman trembling, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came down and fell before him and told him all the truth, right? But now look at verse 34. Isn't this good? This is the results of the point of contact. This is the results of believing by faith. Listen to what Jesus said, verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter. Now, when he said daughter, he was talking covenant. Daughter. Did he say my faith? No. Did he say daughter, their faith? No. What did he say? Daughter, thy faith, your faith had made you whole. Beloved, I'm here to tell you this morning, your faith, right now where you are, can make you whole. Now, there's nothing wrong with prayer lines and getting on a line and having the man or woman of God laying hands on you. There's nothing absolutely wrong with that. So don't take what I'm going to say the wrong way. But I got news for you. You got hands, right? You take your hands and you lay them on yourself. The Bible says these signs shall follow them that believe. Mark chapter 16, verse 18. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, if you happen to be the sick, you can lay hands on yourself and you shall recover. You don't need me to lay hands on you. You don't need anybody else to lay hands on you. You can lay hands on yourself and receive your healing. Didn't Jesus tell that woman? He said, your faith has made you whole. It wasn't Jesus' faith. Jesus said, your faith has made her whole. Jesus is saying that to us this morning. He's saying, beloved, your faith can make you whole. Your faith can sustain you during times like these. Amen? And he said, go in peace and be whole of the plague. Now, we're still not forgetting the story, because where was Jesus going originally? Jesus was on his way with Jairus to Jairus' house. So now, while this miracle happened, or this woman received a healing, and while they're walking, what happened? And while he yet spake, there came a ruler from the synagogue's house and said unto him, your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the master. In other words, it's all over. Throw in the towel. You know, call it a day. Now listen to this. Verse, why trouble the master? You got the virus. Too late. You got a notice in the mail. They're going to foreclose. Too late. You got the pink slip. They don't even give you pink slips anymore. They just give you folders and say goodbye. They say goodbye. Nice knowing you, right? So you got kicked from the job, okay? You got kicked to the curb. Why trouble the master anymore? I lost the job. But look at what happened. Look at what Jesus did. Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. You know, that's so important. You know, it depends on what you're listening to. What are you going to focus in on? Listen to what Jesus said. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, he said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. Say that. Say, I'm not afraid. I believe God. So Jesus immediately, he didn't wait until let it settle in, you know, let him collect himself, you know, because he heard this terrible news, his daughter was dead. He didn't, you know, pat him on the back and say, you know, and then later on, oh yeah, by the way, you know, only believe, don't be afraid. No, he told him immediately, because here's what was happening. Here's what was at stake. Jairus, point of contact, Jairus' faith was now on an attack. Because what did Jairus say? He said, you come to my house and do what? Lay your hands on my daughter and that she will be healed and live, right? Now, the question was this. Was Jesus at his house yet? No. Jesus wasn't at his house yet. So Jesus was performing the word that Jairus said. It made no difference what was happening on the other end. It makes no difference for you and I this morning. It makes no difference what's happening on the other end. If God said he'd meet our needs, then he'll meet our needs. If God said by his stripes we're healed, then we're healed. So Jesus turned to Jairus and said, be not afraid, only believe. So he got Jairus refocused. He got a little refocusing on him. And I believe God is refocusing the church, getting our focus on him, not on the word, not on the world. I'm sorry. Getting our focus on the word, but not on the world. Don't listen to the news you're hearing. I mean, in the news, they're just doing body counts. Listen, when I was in the military, the number one thing they told us, when you go into combat, do not stop going. If your buddy goes down, keep on going. We never wanted to know body counts. Now, I never was in any actual combat situations, but this is what they prepared us for. They prepared us that when you're in combat, when you're in a war situation, you go forward. I got news for you. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going forward. Let me say that again. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going forward. We're not doing body counts. I'm sorry. We're not doing, I'm sorry. I'm not, I make no apologies for this. We do not make body counts. We, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is going forward. We're going forward in healing. We're going forward in prosperity. We're going forward with the message of the kingdom of the gospel. And that is that each and every person can come into the kingdom through Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's get back to the story. So now Jesus goes to Jairus' house, right? So they appear to the house, right? Verse 38. And when they come to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and see its atonement, now we're seeing everybody crying, carrying on and all this stuff. They're weeping and wailing greatly, right? And when he came in, now listen, when Jesus came in, he didn't go, no, he didn't do that. He didn't weep with him. What did he do? Look at what he said. Why are you making all this noise? I'm just paraphrasing because King James says ado. Ado to me means, why are you making all this noise and weeping? The damsel is not dead, but she sleeps. Now, I'm going to show you how phony people are, right? I'm going to show you, one minute they're crying, right, and weeping. Oh. When he said that, look at verse 40. And they did what? Laughed him to scorn. Now, right now in the time and situation we're in, I'm not going to allow the effects of what's going on to affect me. But also, too, in the same token, I'm not going to agree with people. I had one guy say, yeah, this is, he told me, that he said, man, this is bad. I think this is the end times. I said, no, it's not. He said, what do you mean by that? I said, it's not the end times. He said, no, man, don't you see what's going on? He got the mask on. Man, Mila, don't you see what's going on? I said, listen, it's not the end times. He said, how do you know, mijo? I said, I know because I'm still here. See, we are the believers. We're still here. If this was the end times, and if this was the tribulation period, if this was that, we wouldn't be here. So I told him, I say, listen, it's not the end of times because I'm still here. The church is still here. So it's not the end of times. So don't agree with the world with what they're saying. Agree with what God is saying. So that's what Jesus was saying here. He said, the damsel's not asleep. I mean, the damsel's not dead, but she's sleeping. And they started laughing, right? So look at what happened. I like this. I had to do this sometimes too. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had to put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, that's Peter, James, and John, with him, and they entered in where the damsel was lying. Now, in order for faith to come in, unbelief has to go out. Sometimes you're going to have to distance yourself. I mean, they talk about social distancing, right? Social distancing is a good thing when you're talking about faith. Sometimes you're going to have to distance yourself from people who are unbelief, or I don't know if it's the will of the Lord. You have to distance yourself. I'm not saying don't hate them, just distance yourself. Keep yourself away. So Jesus had to put out all that unbelief in order for faith to operate and come in. Amen? So the mother and father was there with his disciples. Now look at what he said. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. The command was given. There was a demand placed on Jesus, right? Remember I said faith places demand on the promises and provisions of God? What was Jairus' request? You go in, lay hands on her, she'll be healed and be raised up, right? So Jesus was agreeing with Jairus' words. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, he's agreeing with the words that we agree with. So if you're dealing with symptoms in your body, if you're dealing with in need of healing, agree with his words. He watches over his word to perform it. That's what it says in Jeremiah. If you're facing financial situations, agree with what he said. What was the situation for the widow woman of Zarephath? She had a need. But guess what? Her seed, that what she gave first, met the need. Amen. Everyone see that? Do you see that? So while the devil comes with an evil report, we can resist him with what? The word of the living God. Now, I want you to say this. I want you to say this, and we're getting ready to close. I'm going to come out here. I want you to say this with me. Say, Jesus, I come this morning thanking you that you are my source and supply. You meet every need of my household through your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. I thank you right now that you bore my sickness. You bore my disease. You bore my infirmity on the cross. And by the stripes that you bore, I am healed. I am healed and whole. Begin to thank God. You're healed and whole right now. Lay hands on yourself. There's a gentleman, you're in Westchester County right now. You've been given an evil report of prostate cancer. Himself bore your infirmity. And by his stripes, you're healed and whole. Healed and whole. Oh, yes, okay. There's a lady. There's an older lady, a seasoned lady. You're in your 80s, and you're in that apartment by yourself, and you're saying, Lord, who's going to come and help me? Who's going to come and take care of me? Well, the Lord has promised to take care of you. He's promised to take care of you. He will take care of you. Your words. Yes, okay. Okay, yeah, there's a family in Rockland County. Family in Rockland County right now. And sir, you're being pressed. You're being pressed. How am I going to pay these bills? I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you from my experience with God. My wife and I had made a decision many years ago. And we said this. She said it first, and I was kind of like dense, and it took me a while to catch on to it, but I hooked in with it and I agreed with her, and that's what we operate with now. And we say this: we will pay our tithe first before we pay our mortgage. Sir, you need to say that right now. Say, God, I will pay my tithe first before I pay my mortgage. Now, according to the lesson we just did this morning, you found out that when that widow woman gave what she had first to God, God sustained her 3.5 years. God's going to take care of you, sir, and your family with your mortgage. In fact, he's going to pay off your mortgage. But honor him, as the word of God says, honor him with your substance. Honor him. All right, there may be, now there's someone here, not here, but out there. I'm getting it in the spirit. Paul said it this way. He told the churches, he said, I beheld your worship. He wasn't there, but by the Spirit, he was there. There's a person in Brooklyn right now, Brooklyn, New York. Okay, I come against that right now in the name of Jesus. I'm hearing neurological infection. There's a neurological infection in your body that's causing that instability. The Word of God says this in Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. So right now, it's a lady, right now. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Himself, Jesus, bore your infirmity, and by his stripes, you're healed and whole in Jesus' name. Okay, there's some people watching this broadcast. This is your first time watching, and you're saying, man, I really don't like this guy. I want to turn away from him. But you're not turning away because it's the Spirit of God drawing you. It's the Spirit of God drawing you. And he loves you. So those of you, like the ones I'm talking to right now, you've never made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But you'd like to do it right now. You know, you don't have to wait. Here's the beautiful thing. You don't have to wait to when we can come back together and all gather together as a church and then, oh, I'll come down and accept Christ. No, that's not the way it works. The way it works is your heart. The word of God. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you'd like to accept him right now, as an act of your faith, what I want you to do is stand up right now. Stand up if you can. If you can't stand up, stay where you are and lift up your hands. This is an act of your faith, a point of contact. I'm joining my faith with your faith right now. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, stand up or lift up your hands right now and repeat after me this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now as my personal Savior. And it's in accordance to your word, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. With my mouth, I'm making a confession. And with my heart, I believe unto salvation. If you've done that, if this is your first time that you've ever made that confession, is this the first time that you said, I really mean this, and this is, I know that there's a better way, and I know that Jesus is the way that God is leading me, and he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. If that was you, what I'd like for you to do right now is, you're watching this broadcast, whichever way you're watching this broadcast, send in an email. Email us at www.redeeminglovecc.org. And when you come to our website, just I think there's an area where you can respond. Say, I've accepted Jesus Christ. And if you give us your information, we would be more than happy to send you some free information to get you started in this new life with Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's give God praise. Let's give God praise. Give him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People are coming to Christ. People are coming to Christ. People are coming to Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord.